Welcome to Torat Imecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Professor Smadar Rosenzweig, and today we will be studying Shmuel Aleph Perek Kaf Gimel, Chapter 23. Let's recap a little of Perek Kaf Bet, Chapter 22. David comes back from Gat, the city of the Plishtim, to his ancestral tribe, Yehuda. And there he joins his family, they show him solidarity, but he also attracts a group of disaffected fringe men, a motley crew, of 400. And once David gathers his family and these fringe warriors, he leaves to Moab, the country of Moab. We remember Moab. Moab is where Ruth comes from. But the whole point of Ruth is that she never wants to go back. She cleaves to Naomi. She leaves her family, her religion, and her nation to join a new family, a new religion, and a new nation, a new identity. She rejects Moab thoroughly. So for David to regress and go back to Moab is worrisome. He shouldn't be doing that. He should not ally himself with Moab. That is going back. That's regression. And Gad HaNavi, the prophet, is really worried about this. And God is worried about this. So God, the Navi, has to come to David to tell him he cannot stay there. He has to leave Moab. But he leaves his family there. He asks the king of Moab to watch them. And Rashi quotes a very famous midrash that what happens is that the king of Moab destroys David's entire family. And only one son escapes. One child escapes. The Perek further emphasizes this point, the point that maybe David's not thinking clearly about the people around him and their safety. And he's doing things to save his life, but he's not taking other people into consideration. This is true again with Avimelech in Nov. When David needed food, he goes to Ahimelech and he asks him for food. And he also asks him for a sword. And Doeg HaAdomi, Shaul's advisor, was there that day, and he hears this, and then he comes and he informs on David to Shaul. When Shaul hears this, he calls the Kohen Gadol to him to ask him all these questions. And he doesn't address him respectfully. He calls him Ben Achitov, the son of Achitov. Shaul is enraged that Ahimelech, the Kohen Gadol, the high priest, aided and abetted his enemy David by giving him bread, a sword, and inquiring God on his behalf. But Ahimelech did not know the drama between David and Shaul, and he said, of course I helped him, of course I gave him the sword, the food, and I asked Hashem for him. Isn't he the most respected? Isn't he your son-in-law? Isn't he a great hero? And that enrages Shaul even more. And he tells all of his servants, kill all of Novira Kohanim, kill Ahimelech. But no one is going to do that. These are the high priests. He's the high priest. And these are the priests. These are the Kohanim. But Doeg, the servant who was the informant, goes and murders the entire city. Men, women, children, infants, oxen, donkeys, sheep. Shaul, who didn't comply with God's command to destroy all of Amalek and their possessions, now is willing to destroy the city of the priests and the high priest and a city of Israelites and all their possessions and the women and the children? That's mind-boggling. And that's why the Midrash says, Al titzdak harbe va'al tirsha harbe. If you think that you know better than God and you want to be super, super, super righteous in the end, you're going to be super, super, super wicked. Don't think you know better than God. And it's not only Shaul that bears responsibility for what happens to Nov. We see that David also bears some responsibility because David admits that he knew that Doeg was there. And that Doeg would inform on him to David, to Shaul. But at least here, David takes responsibility. And he tells Eviatar, the lone Kohen that escapes. And he tells him, I will protect you. Because anyone who's running after you and wants to destroy you is also looking for me. So I will be responsible. And this reminds us of Yehuda's responsibility in Sefer Bereishit, in the book of Genesis. So let's see what's happening in Perek Kaf Gimel. In our Perek, David hears that the Judean city of Keilah is being hounded by the Plishtim. So he asks God through the ephod, the breastplate, that adorns Eviatar, right? The sole Kohen who survived and is now traveling with David. And Hashem responds through the ephod that he will be successful. So David fights the Plishtim to save Keilah. When Shaul hears that David is in Keilah, of course he wants to go there and trap David and make sure that he has David in his clutches. But when David hears this, he asks Hashem through the ephod, oh, is Shaul going to come after me? Are the people going to give me in Shaul's hands? And the ephod answers, yes, they will abandon you to Shaul. So David escapes, and now he has 600 men. Another 200 joined him, and they hide in a grove of trees. This connection to God is very important. Shaul never successfully initiated a request and received a full answer from the ephod, from the Urim V'Tumim. Either Shaul says, Esof Yadecha, oh, collect your hands, because they were in the middle of a battle, or because there was a sin perpetrated, Hashem doesn't answer him. But the symbol for Shaul is that Hashem's not answering him. And the symbol for David is that Hashem is answering him. And it is a common occurrence. Hashem is answering him on a regular basis. And that is one of the big points of this perek, to compare and contrast Shaul and David in their connection to Hashem. So even though David is sliding, Hashem is still with him. And he still has access to Hashem. Yonatan also finds out where David is hiding. So Yonatan comes to visit him and encourage him in Hashem. And also, this is interesting, because Shaul is always looking for David and can never capture him. But Yonatan always seems to find David and encourage him and make another covenant. And interestingly, here again, when Yonatan gets together with David, he's identified as Ben Shaul, the son of Shaul. And why is he here? L'chazek et yado be'elokim, to encourage David with Hashem. Because what have we seen so far? That David is sliding. He's going to Moab, right? He goes to Novir HaKohanim, but endangers them. David now has the Urim V'Tumim. Hopefully that will help him to keep stark and strong with Hashem. But Yonatan comes to give him encouragement because he knows what his father is doing. And he saw what happened to Novir HaKohanim. So he wants to make sure that David stays strong and stays strong with Hashem. And Yonatan pretty much promises David, Al tira, ki lo timtza'acha yad Shaul avi, va'ata timloch al Yisrael, va'nuchi eyelecha lemishne, ve'gam Shaul avi yodea ken. What does Yonatan say to David? Don't be afraid. My father Shaul will never find you, and you will really rule on Israel, and I will be your second in command. And you know what? My father Shaul even knows this. Vayechratu shnehem brit lifnei Hashem, vayeshev David bechorsha v'Yonatan alach lebeito. They make a brit. They make a covenant between them before Hashem, and David stays in the chorsha, in the grove of trees, and Yonatan goes back to his home. But we see that Yonatan is a very good influence on David. He wants to strengthen his hands with Hashem, because he knows maybe David is sliding and he needs this. They're still good friends. This is the last time that they meet, and Yonatan asks David to make him his second in command. When you become king, I will be your second in command. Fully acknowledging that David will be king, and that he and his father both know this. But Shaul wants to kill David to stop David from being king. But Yonatan deep down knows that David is worthy. So he asks to be the second in command. Yonatan says, you know, I'm a very good second in command. And this is brilliant on two counts by Yonatan. Number one, because usually the next king slaughters the family of the earlier dynasty. And number two, Yonatan sees God on David's side and sees that he's really worthy to rule. And Yonatan knows that he himself is a great leader and he would make a great assistant to David, thus securing his future and saving his family's life. And as in each meeting, they make a covenant between them before Hashem. Hashem is their eternal witness. And as we know, if something is important to you, you make a covenant. You want God as your witness, that it would be something forever. After this meeting, the Zippim, the Ziphites, tell Shaul, well, we know where David is hiding. And David says, okay, I need to know 100% because I keep on running after him and then he escapes. So they send Shaul excellent intel, and yes, Shaul finds David's camp. And they're coming towards each other, and they're right next to this big rock. And right at the moment that Shaul will probably go and attack David's camp, a messenger comes, a malach comes. Umalach ba el Shaul lemor, mehera valecha, ki pashtu plishtim al haaretz. You have to come quickly, because the plishtim have invaded. Vayashav Shaul mirdof achrei David. So Shaul has to give up his pursuit of David, and he has to go and fight and confront the plishtim. But they call this rock Sela HaMachloket, the rock of separation. Shaul circles David's men and is about to attack, and his whole goal is going to be fulfilled any moment. But right at that moment, a malach comes. It's either a messenger or a real angel, according to Rashi, that he has to change his plans, and he can't run after David. He should be fighting the plishtim. It's a way to remind him that his job is not to fight David, it's to fight the plishtim. That's why they took him as king. The other interesting idea here is the name of the place, the rock of separation, of challenge. Rashi explains that the pshat means that they had to separate, the army separated at this point, and that's what's being memorialized. But Rashi explains further that what does Sela HaMachloket mean? It means that Shaul's heart was separated, cleaved in two. One part of him really wanted badly to stay and kill David, instead of doing his kingly obligation to protect his people. He was so consumed with hunting David that he did not care anymore about being king, his national duties. All he wanted to do was to kill David. He was so focused on his personal war with David and not on his war, his national war with the Plishtim. So to sum up, in our perek we hear that the Judean city of Keilah is being hounded by the Plishtim, and David saves them. And he saves them through asking Hashem in the Urim, the Tumim, the Ephod, to find out, what should I do? And Hashem always answers him. And David follows the word of Hashem. After David escapes from the city of Keilah, because if he stayed there, Shaul would find out, and Shaul would attack him. David escapes to a grove of trees, and Yonatan finds him. And Yonatan makes a brit with him. And he says, look, you will always be successful. Keep strong in Hashem. And I want to be your second in command when you are king, and always be nice to my family. This is a very important move by Yonatan, because usually the next king slaughters the earlier dynasty, but Yonatan also sees that Hashem is on David's side and he is the chosen one. And instead of fighting against him, he should join his team. And through that, he will be able to be a great leader as well. Yonatan could be a great number two. He doesn't have to be the great number one. That also takes a greatness to understand what your real role is. And Shaul is not understanding that, but we see that his son Yonatan does. And they make a covenant between them before Hashem. And Hashem is their eternal witness. After they make this covenant, informers tell Shaul where David is. And Shaul comes and he comes close to David's camp and he's about to attack them and encircle them. But a malach, either a real angel or a messenger, comes to Shaul and says, the Plishtim have attacked Israel. You have to defend Bnei Israel from the Plishtim. That's your job as king. And David does and Shaul does follow and leave and fight against the Plishtim. But the area is called Sela HaMachloket. Why is it called the Rock of Separation? Because really part of Shaul's heart wanted to stay and destroy David. His heart was cleaved into two. It was divided into two. Because even though Shaul's job as king is to really defend Bnei Israel, but his personal vendetta against David is really blinding him to what his role should be. So how is this all going to come to a head between Shaul and David? How is this going to end? Or what's the next step in this relationship? We will see that in the next perek, perek Kaf Dalad, chapter 24. When they meet in the cave in En Gedi, it's one of the most famous confrontations in Tanakh. Shaul and David in the cave. And we will discuss that when we discuss our next perek. Thank you for studying together, Li'ilui Nishmat, Frida bat Moshe Eliyahu.